Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 30. It's absolutely amazing that I don't speak to the praise team about what I'm preaching, and they don't ask me what I'm preaching, but just about everything they say, Jennifer, you just about preached my message here a few minutes ago, and we haven't talked this week at all, have we? Okay, yeah, just checking. Psalm 30. Last week we looked at the calling of Noah in our message. We learned that Noah was a righteous man who lived in a very wicked world that was becoming more and more wicked with each passing day. And we can relate. Can we not? Yeah. Well, we can relate. As we looked at the task that God was asking Noah to perform, we learned that to most, if not all, it was an impossible task to perform. Noah was a man just like any other man, and we learned he could have done what most men do, and that's told God no. Or cast the whole occurrence as a bad dream. He might have eaten something the night before and caused him to have a bad dream. But Noah didn't. He faithfully did as God asked. One man was faithful. We then looked at men throughout biblical history, as they too were given tasks from God that were seemingly impossible and very, if not anything else, they were very unpopular. Yet these men followed God to the very end. We learned that it only takes one person willing to follow God to change the world with God's message. Today, we're going to look at what most of those people who followed God endured. It resembles what we as Christians endure. It closely resembles what everybody at some point in their life endures. I've told y'all this, the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel that's being preached in a lot of our charismatic churches, if you'll just do this, if you'll just send in this, that message is blasphemy. We're not promised when we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Listen, it's going to be a tiptoe through the tulips, it's going to be rose petals, and it's going to be a wonderful time. God doesn't promise us that. This isn't our home. Why should we expect to live a blissful life when this isn't our home? Listen to what Psalm 30 says, starting in verse 1. David says, "I will exalt you, Lord, because you have lifted me up, and I have not allowed, and you have not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from Sheol. You spread me from among those going down to the pit. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, you who his faithful ones, and praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night. But joy, there is joy in the morning." Now, Angela, you were just talking about your life verse. This is probably my life verse, Psalm 30, verse 5, which is going to be amazing to some of y'all because I've never been shy to tell y'all. What is my least favorite? If I had to pick a least favorite book in the Bible, what is my least favorite? Psalms. There's some beautiful Psalms. I love Psalms, but I can't stand those ones that are, "Oh, Lord God, just kill me." This is not one of them. David is exalting the Lord. He's happy in the Lord. Church, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. We're going to explore that a little bit this morning. Let's pray. Father, we come to you asking forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, I pray right now that you would settle our hearts. Lord, you'd settle our minds. You'd help us to sit still and listen to you this morning. Not because of me, but because of you. Lord, your word has never faltered. It's never done anything but grow stronger. Help us, Lord, to seek wisdom this morning from you. Help us to see the wisdom. Help us to understand the wisdom. And help us to retain the wisdom that we need this morning to be greater servants for you. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Listen to this, Jennifer. Listen to this. If I were to do a poll, not only with the people in this congregation, but with the people from all walks of life, all over the world, asking, have the last 6 months been hard on you? What do you think the vast majority would answer? Yeah. If I asked, are you tired of the coronavirus? Are you tired of politics, division, hatred, and constant violence and destruction? Does it not just blow your mind what some people call violence, riots, and destruction, and what they don't call violence, riot, and destruction? It's amazing how some people will encourage and then point the... it's just amazing, isn't it, church? It's amazing. What do you think the answer to the question would be to all of that? Are you tired of the division, the politics, the hatred, the coronavirus? Yes. To be honest, church, I don't know if we'll ever see the end of the things that I just listed. But I can tell you one thing for sure. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Now, this is not a scripture that's hidden, that you come across and you say, oh, I haven't seen that before. Ricky, you've heard this verse before, haven't you? Well, we all have. It's a very, very familiar verse. We read it and we say, oh, hey, this is beautiful. But have you ever stopped after you've read it and understood the complexities of what this scripture is saying? See, that's what we need to do. We live in a time where we most definitely need to read our Bibles. You do, on a daily basis. But you need to stop, Butch, and understand what it is you're reading. You need to let it sink in. What does this mean? After you read a chapter, before you move to the next chapter, Kenny, you need to say, okay, what does this mean and how is this speaking to my heart? Amen? You really do. So, church, this what I just read. What does this scripture really mean? Now, I guess to understand this verse in its fullest, we must consider in each of our lives what it is that causes us to weep. What is it that causes you to weep? Now, Miss Desi, I know what causes me to weep, but I don't know what causes you to weep all the time. There might be some things that cause us both to weep, but we have several things that you'll cry, and I'm just like, what's she crying for? So what is it that causes you to weep? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to go ahead and tell you. Y'all ready? Number one, something that causes me to weep, death. Death causes me to weep. But not all death. Not all death. When my dad died, I didn't think I would cry. I mean, I had been building myself up and putting barricades around myself, but because he and I had a very strained relationship. He was the opposite of who I was, and I was the opposite of who he was. And at times, he resented who I had become because his son should not have become a preacher, a Baptist preacher. And I had these walls built up around me, and I had told myself, when Dad dies, I probably won't even cry. And that was the furthest thing from the truth. I tried to hold the tears back, but I couldn't. And it was because of the loss. And the idea in my mind, I don't know how long that loss will be. It might be an eternal loss, and I don't know. And that's what really got to me. Death makes me cry, but not all death makes me cry. I'll never forget a dear man that I love dearly in my last church, Jep Smith. Jep Smith, anything that needed to be done around the church, it's kind of like Poppy, he did it. And did it with no rewards, no applause, no pat on the back. He would just do it. He would do things for Amy and I as we had three small children at the first ministry. Knowing what we were paid, he would do things for us that nobody ever knew, and he never wanted anybody to know. on a constant basis. When Jeb Smith died, I went back for his funeral a few years ago. And I, after the funeral, I wrote Miss Hazel, his wife, a long letter. And in the very beginning of the letter, I wrote this. I said, Miss Hazel, I know that you know the love that I had for Mr. Jeb. And I know the love that he had for me. I want you to understand something. I will never shed a tear over his death. Why is that? Because I can still feel that love that man had for me. He taught me lessons that the world never could teach me about giving and loving people to Jesus. When he died, there is no separation. I can still feel him, and I know there's never going to be an eternity of separation with him. When I die, if those who are in heaven are allowed to come to the gate and greet me and when I come home, Mr. Jeb will be there, no doubt. You see, there's some things in death that I cry for. And there's some that I don't. There's some that I don't. But there's other things that I cried for as well. When I was a child, discipline made me cry. Y'all hear me? Discipline made me cry. As a matter of fact, I used it both for my advantage and it was to a disadvantage as well. And this is why, because my dad would say when I messed up, and I didn't get many as whippings as I should have gotten, when I would mess up, Dad would just say, go downstairs and assume the position. And I would have to go downstairs and I would lay across my bed after I put on that second pair of pants. I'd lay across the bed and I would have to wait for him to come downstairs. And that was part of the punishment, y'all. It really was. Butch is over there, yep, it sounds. Because I would go downstairs and I'd assume the position and I could hear him walking around upstairs. And I didn't know what he was doing, but he was getting himself ready. I don't know if he was doing push-ups or, you know, getting that arm, stretching that arm out, doing some aerobics and yoga. I don't know what it was. But he would walk around. Then you'd hear him top the stairs. And when he came to the top of the stairs, y'all know what was getting ready to happen, right? He was coming down. So he would walk down the stairs, and there were 13 stairs from the top to the bottom. You know how I know? Because I counted. And then he would walk around the stairs, cut the corner into my room. And I don't know why he would do this, y'all, but he would wait until he got into my bedroom to release the Kraken. He would stand right there at the door and he would, you know, loosen his belt. And I was always praying. I wasn't saved then, but I'd still pray, Lord God, let it be a little belt today. Please let it be a little belt. Oh, Lord, please let it be a little. Because he had, you know, like several belts. And you could hear that thing skip every loop. Sometimes it was beneficial to cry then. I mean, cry because, you know, he might show a little mercy and sympathy and only give you two or three whacks. But other times when you really messed up, he would tell you before he even struck you, you just need to shut your mouth because it's only going to be worse. The more you cry, the more you're going to get it. Discipline, when I was growing up, made me cry. It really did. Thinking about it, I'm tearing up now. I won't forget those. And listen, let me say again, I didn't get nearly as many as I. And my dad wasn't a Christian my whole life, but he believed in Proverbs 23:13. He did. He really did. But there's something, the other things that have made me cry. When Amy and I were young in our marriage, there were times that I would get my paycheck knowing that what bills need to be paid, knowing what was in my checking account, and then knowing how many groceries we had at the house, and I would cry out of frustration. I would cry because I wanted to provide for my family, and I did not feel like I was doing a good enough job. Any of y'all ever been there before? I tried everything I possibly could. When you're young and you're dumb, listen to me. I told this to Griffin when he graduated from college. Please listen to me. Listen, Matthew, listen to me, son, because you're going to need this one day too. Listen to me. When you are young, learn to live on half of what you make. Learn to live on half of what you make and save the rest. Because the sun might be out today, but a storm is just around the corner, and you need to be prepared for the storm. Do you hear me? I would weep looking at my check, knowing what was there, knowing what had to be paid, knowing what my children needed to eat. If I don't ever eat another chicken nugget in my life, I'll be good. Really. Chicken nuggets and frozen pizzas. I've had enough. Can I tell you something? Age teaches you a lot of things. It really does. You see, those times are in the past. I had to endure them. But now, listen, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Listen, I'm past that. I'm living in the morning past that now, church. I really am. For years, I'd go to the grocery store, and I had before I even set foot in the grocery store, I knew how much I had to spend and no more. And usually it was between $50 and $80 for the week I allotted for groceries. Not a lot, is it? And as I would go through, I would keep count. I would say, okay, that's $325, my gosh. They went up again. And I mean, I'd tally it up. And there was even one time, Butch, when the woman rang it up. And I said, that can't be right. No, that's wrong. And she said, well, that is what it is. Did you put your card in, your MVP card in? Well, no, I didn't. Woo, drop down. It was a scary time. It feels good to be an adult who's made it through all that. And, you know, there's times where I'll go to the grocery store now and I won't even look at the price. I'll say, oh, I hadn't had that in a while. She put it in the buggy. I couldn't do that years ago. Some of y'all were, y'all know what I'm talking about. What is that? It's joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning, church. Listen, I've cried. I've cried over other things as well. I've cried many times as I've watched my children grow into adults, as I have watched them make both bad and good decisions. I've fought back the tears, but as I've watched my children and hear the words of the Bible that Amy repeats to me all too often, but not often enough, we have taught them well. We've taught them well. We did everything we could do. I can't go back in time and teach them any. There's nothing I would change. We taught them well. She tells me the scripture is in them. They're going to make it just like we did. It's still hard. But church, I want you to understand something. As those tears soak our face, as the tears fill our eyes, we need to understand this scripture again. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Brother Kyle, is there anything else? Oh, yeah, listen. Church, when Amy and I were young, I nearly lost her. That still makes me want to cry. I nearly lost my wife because of my stupidity. I was a manly man. Tony, I wanted to be a manly man. Really. I wanted to hang out with the boys. And when hunting season was in, I'm going to be in the woods. I mean, because that's what the boys do, right? I was a manly man. And you know, 2 or 3 months prior to hunting, well, you got to go out there and scout. You got to find out where the deer are. You just can't walk up magically, just jump into a tree. And some people do think that. They do. They think you could just walk into it and just sit in a tree, Butch, and 12 deer are going to walk by. No. 2 or 3 months prior to it, you got to scout where the deer are. So you're in the woods during hunting season and after hunting season, I mean before hunting season, 3 months every Saturday scouting where the deer are going to be. And then deer season's over. Well, in your mind, you're like, well, you know, I got to find out where they go afterwards. So you're in the woods for another month, maybe, looking to see where they might be at the end of the season next year, right? That's all in your mind. Now, deer season's gone. Well, yeah, now I have more time to go fishing. Yo, I didn't even like the taste of deer meat, and I just go, why? So I could show my buddies my pictures of the deer I shot. The only way I could eat it was with spaghetti, lasagna, or chili. I didn't like it any other way. All the time I was pushing her away. Further and further. Until God told me, he says, you're getting ready to lose your wife. What can I do about it? What does Scripture say you need to do about it? Oh, I'm supposed to love her the way you love the church. I don't know how to do that. Pray it. Pray it. I do every day, church, and I can tell you, the deer stand's still where I left it in Sharon, South Carolina, up in the tree. I guess it's still there. And I have a wife. Brother Kyle, what are you saying? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. It always has, it always will come in the morning. Church, another thing just makes me want to cry. As I consider the state of America today, the America that I grew up in and raised my family, as I see the hate and division, I want to cry. Don't you? I mean, you think back to the 80s, some of y'all who are my age, how great a time it was to live. I mean, we lived outside. The greatest computer thing that we had was Atari. Y'all remember before that we had the dot, the tennis. I don't even remember what you call it. You had this little square that you pong, yeah. You hit the dot, that's it. Y'all, that got old quick. It did. And we were ready to go back outside and play. We lived outside. We lived to live outside. God's nature. We came in when it was darker, when mom called us home. I don't know what's going on in America, but it breaks my heart. It really does. What do you do? What can we do? We can pray and we can understand this scripture. And it's building, it's coming to a head, church. Listen, weeping may endure for the night, but joy does come in the morning. We need to understand this is not our home. This is not where we need to put our lock, stock, and barrel. This is not where we need to invest everything that we have, and too often we do. This is not our home. But we're heading home. Church, as we look across the landscape of time, through the eyes of Scripture, those who walked before us traveled a road that was not easy. We cannot expect that road will ever be easy for us again. We cannot use the rallying cry, and I've heard this all too often. We've got to quit using the rally cry. I hope we can one day get back to normal. We got to quit. We got to stop. Listen, we need to accept that what we are now seeing might possibly be the new normal. We need to learn to glorify God right now, because tomorrow is not promised on many different fronts. It's really not. Think back with me to last week's scripture in Genesis 6, when God called Noah to a seemingly impossible task. Now, as we read through that scripture, we see the calling, we see Noah accepting, and we see Noah start building the ark, right? There's a lot that probably took place that we don't see. Do you think people in the community started hearing trees drop and somebody was hunting somewhere around the area, David, and they peeked through the woods and they saw this land clear and saw these beams starting to form, and he went back and told the community, I don't know what Noah's doing, but he's doing something. And his word got out. I mean, can you imagine that people, started visiting Noah and saying, Noah, what's going on? And as Noah told them the story, do you think they all said, oh, look, wow, that's amazing. I didn't know that you had this relationship with... No, do you reckon they, laughed at him, scoffed at him? The mean neighbor kids probably hid in the woods and threw rocks at him. Do you think any of that could possibly happen? Yeah. Do you think it was easy? Absolutely not. I can imagine every bit of it was hard. Even when Noah, Ricky, was trying to tell them the truth as to why God was having them build that ark, do you think his life was easy? Do you think he went to bed at night questioning himself and the original conversation with God? God, did you really want me to do this? I imagine all of that took place. You see, weeping endures for the night. But what do you think it was like when Noah was standing outside and God said, enter the ark? And he looked, and Angie, there might not have been a cloud on the horizon. Okay. And as he got up into the ark, who was it that closed the door? God closed the door. God closed the door, and Noah's just wandering around. I don't know about you, but anytime that I've gotten on a ship, I like to go to the top and just look over. So in my mind, I'm imagining Noah walking up top. Okay, God, here we are. And as he's up there, he sees a faint cloud in the distance. And that cloud is growing and growing and growing. And Tony, it's getting closer and closer to him. But he's still in the dark. He's still in the dark. He's still in the dark of night. But as the cloud encompasses the sky, and Noah looks up, and that first drop of rain hits him between the eyes, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Everything that had taken place, all those years that he had done what God told him to do, all the laughing, the scoffing, everything that he went through, joy came in the morning. Listen to what John Phillips says about Psalm chapter 30, verse 5. Right now, us, the church, are hurrying through the nighttime of our experience. The shadows often are dark and menacing. But the morning comes, and with it, the day that never ends. The night through which we are passing is only temporary. When the morning comes, not if the morning comes, but when the morning comes, there will be no more sorrows, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more sickness, and no more separations. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase. Church, joy comes in the morning. There's no greater illustration in my mind of what I've been preaching about this morning than as we could imagine following the 11 apostles that were left behind after Jesus died. Those 3 days must have been excruciating for them and so many others. You know, as we study the Easter scriptures, they ran to the empty tomb, and they saw the empty tomb. But even with the empty tomb, the darkness was still in their lives because they didn't yet understand truly what had taken place. But on the day when Jesus interrupted their little prayer meeting, and He came to them in physical form, before Thomas and especially after Thomas. Church, do you understand when they understood what exactly took place and how Jesus was alive? They were walking in darkness. But please understand, their joy came in the morning. It came in the morning. I don't know. I don't have a clue. I don't even fathom to know what each one of y'all is going through in your life. You see, things make you cry that wouldn't make me cry, and things make me cry that wouldn't make you cry. Now, there's things that would make us all cry, but listen, you're going through a struggle that I'm not going through, and I'm going through struggles that you're not going through. But understand this. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy, I promise you, please understand me, joy is coming in the morning. It most definitely is. Well, Brother Kyle, listen, I'm tired of walking in this darkness. I need to see just a little bit of light. Look up to the Lord, because that's where our light comes from. He said, and he told us, and I believe it, I am the light of the world. In him there is no darkness, Butch. Do you know my Jesus this morning? Do you know him? Do you trust him? Do you trust him this morning, knowing that you might be walking through a time of darkness? Oh, but joy is coming. It's coming. Brother Kyle, when's it coming? I don't know, but it's coming. It's coming. Joy comes in the morning. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us so many promises. And you there are people who won't keep their promises to us, God, but you're a promise keeper. And Lord, I pray that you would be with us right now. Help us to understand the wisdom of this scripture and to seek it every day of our lives. Pray for it every day of our lives. Lord, help me just to see a glimmer of the light, of the morning light, that I might walk towards you and know that you're with me. Be with us now during this time of invitation, Lord. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come this morning and just spend some time at the altar?